Amen. So let's put our hands together as we invite Pastor Nami.
Not much time after that. Good morning, church. How are you all? Good to see you all. Welcome to those who've been away, and welcome to all the new people. It's always nice to have new people in the church. So recently, I went to the shopping center, and I walked in, and I see trees, lights, colors, all sorts of things, and I hear songs playing. I'm like, what's going on here? Apparently, it was Christmas. I just couldn't believe it. That's how fast this year has been. I don't know about you, but it's just kind of caught me off guard. In fact, we've got 21 more days, I believe, before Christmas. So I just want to start off with a word of prayer. I'm going to keep the message short because I would like to pray for people at the end. Father, we just thank you for this day. We just commit this message to you. I commit your people to you, Lord. I pray, Father, that as we hear these words, Lord, that our hearts would be moved. I pray, Father, for everyone here who has a need, Lord, may you meet them at their point of need. Father, I pray that there would be a shift, not just in our thinking and our emotions, but in our actions moving forward. I thank you, Father, for a word in season, and I pray, Father, that I preach this word, Father, it would be your words and not mine that come out. I pray that it would be your Holy Spirit that ministers, Lord, none of me and all of you. I pray these in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as I realized that it was Christmas season, I couldn't help but be aware of attention. Attention that exists for many people. That on the one hand, we're all celebrating, we're all excited. Some are planning their holidays, some are buying presents, some are organizing catch-ups. Celebration mode. But on the other hand, there's a whole group of people who are not celebrating, who are not going on holiday. In fact, this group of people are grieving. They're grieving the loss of loved ones this year or in the last 3 years. Or they're grieving the loss of opportunities. They're just not in that state. So for me, that presented a tension. And the thing with people is they have a tendency to pretend. It's kind of hard, you know, when everybody's celebrating to kind of say, actually, I'm not celebrating. You kind of feel like you have to go with the flow. So you see people smile, you know, and say Merry Christmas. But in their heart, that's not what's happening. In their heart, they're questioning. They're asking why. They're asking what happened? Why me? And it's different for every person. The battle is different for every person. So I was very aware of this tension. And so some people are walking around wearing masks. Masks to protect themselves and to hide from what's really going on. So if you're taking notes, as you can see, the title of my message is The Mask. You know, when I think of The Mask, I remember when I was younger, one of my favorite TV shows was Zorro. Now, if you were at the volunteer party recently, you would have noticed that there was, in fact, I think two people that I noticed who came as Zorro. I didn't get a chance to go and introduce myself and chat with them, but it was nice to see. You know, Zorro would come in and he would defend the defendless. He was a protector. And do you remember what he would do at the end? He'd take his sword and he'd write Z to show that Zorro was here. And then the other thing that I think of when I think of The Mask is a movie from a long time ago by Jim Carrey, The Mask. So Jim Carrey was a bank clerk and very kind of timid. There wasn't much to him in terms of how he interacted with people. But then he discovered this magical mask. And when the mask came on, he would completely change. He had this seemingly supernatural strength. He was a ladies' man. He could just do things. He was invincible. He could do incredible things that he couldn't do. In fact, it's like he had a false sense of security. Now, the last 3 years, we've all experienced the mask, haven't we? Because of COVID-19, we've all had somehow to wear the mask and still are. The one thing that these three things have in common, Zorro, Jim Carrey in the mask, and COVID-19 masks, is that they all protect. There's an element of protection that comes with having a mask, but also they hide your true identity. I find it interesting with my work, when I'm at work and I go into the clinic and I call clients out, especially if it's a new person I've never met, I have to stand there and look. I'll call out, but if I don't, because a lot of people that have come this year, I've only ever known them with a mask. You come out and you're thinking, I've had situations where I've said, I'm sorry to look at you, but I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're actually, they're like, no, it's okay, I understand. Because they're wearing a mask, their true identity is hidden. Now, the thing is, as Christians, we have access to something that people who are not Christians don't have. We have Christ. And so we have a way of resolving this tension that I've just been describing, this tension of, on the one hand, celebration, and on the other hand, there's a grief. We have access to Christ, and that allows us to navigate that tension. People who don't know God don't have that. So for today, my aim is this, to answer this question. How can we bridge the gap between those who know Christ, which is us, and those with no access and are living behind the mask of their pain, the mask of their unresolved life tensions, the mask of their insecurities? We need to bridge the gap. You know, the theme today has been about the one, going out for the one, God leaving the 99. And I really feel strongly that that's what God would have us think about. As we approach this Christmas season, what difference can we make? It's nice to have the celebrations. It's exciting. We're all tired. We need to rest. But what difference can we make, given that as Christians, we have access to something very powerful that other people don't have? So I'm going to share from the book of John chapter 4, verse 7 to 42. I'll skip some, scriptures, but it's a very common story about the Samaritan woman. It says from verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can I get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, now this line here, I think it's important to keep this in mind. This is where the shift happens. "Sir, give me this water." The minute that she asked, "Give me this water," that was the turning point. "So that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. What happened next was a conversation about worship. She started talking about worship, and he said, you know, we are the true worshipers, you know. So there's this, you can go and read about it, but they went on to have this discussion. So at the end of it all, the woman said, you know what? I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Then the disciples came back and they found Jesus talking to the woman. They're surprised he's talking to a woman, but they didn't say anything. Then from verse 28, it says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, this is another powerful statement. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. And then it goes on to talk about how many people believed, many Samaritans believed because of the woman. She changed the world. I say she changed the world because it's 2022 and we're still talking about her. So she didn't just change the people there. She changed the world. Her story goes on. So I just want to highlight what are some lessons that we can learn from the conversation at the well. Number one, I want to talk about living in fear of inadequacy. Living in fear of inadequacy. Many of us live in fear of our inadequacy. And that's how our fears of inadequacy become our masks. They became her masks. She mentions that she's a Samaritan woman. She talks about her tradition, about Jacob, their forefathers. She also has an unconventional lifestyle. The five husbands, and the one she's living with. You know, that story is very interesting because they don't give us much information. You might think, okay, so she had five husbands. That doesn't mean anything. That maybe, you know, all her husbands died, right? It doesn't mean anything. But the fact is, it talks about the sixth man. That's where we get the idea that there was something concerning, according to Christ, about her lifestyle. Even if all the five husbands had died, and that's the reason why she moved from husband to husband, the sixth man, and the fact that Christ highlighted that, shows us that there was more to what he was trying to highlight. But the thing that I want to highlight is this. For as long as she held on to what she thought disqualified her, she could keep her distance from God. For as long as she could hold on to what disqualified her, I am a Samaritan woman. You are a Jew. And a lot of people are walking around like that. Many are wearing masks and disqualifying themselves from God, disqualifying themselves from church, disqualifying themselves from Christianity. And they're doing that by looking at themselves and saying, I am a Samaritan, so I can't go there. On the one hand, it has become the way that they protect themselves from that vulnerability that's required when you interact with Christ. On the other hand, it has become a way of hiding because they don't want to be exposed. So my first point was that we need to understand that there are people, not just out there, even in here, people living in fear of their inadequacy, and that is their masks. The second thing I want to talk about is knowing the gift of God. She says, or he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink. You know, knowing someone has levels. You know, sometimes you can see someone, maybe you see someone on TV and you're like, oh, I know that person. When what you actually mean is, I've seen that person before. I've had an interaction with that person. But that does not mean that you know them. Sometimes we've heard about someone. Sometimes we've read about someone. Sometimes we've done research, but that is not knowing. And what Christ was highlighting to her is that there is more to me. There is more for you. If only you knew. When you know it's him, you go all the way and rise above your inadequacies and you ask. Sometimes we don't ask, even as Christians, because we don't really know him. We have an interaction with him, and our interaction is very surface level. But when you know him, you go all the way and ask. I believe as Christians, we are to teach people to know him so that they can ask. You see, it's one thing to hear about Christ and the goodness of God. It's another to know it for yourself. Sometimes as Christians, we get comfortable because we all know Christ. We've had that encounter. So it gets comfortable. It's nice to come to church on Sunday and we catch up with our friends. But sometimes we forget that there's a whole world out there that doesn't know him. But we have access that they don't have access to. Next, I want to talk about no more masks. Who knew that that would be just a wonderful phrase to hear? No more masks. Because masks, let's be real, can be quite uncomfortable. I mean, we got used to them eventually. But it was very uncomfortable initially. I remember always saying, I can't breathe. Right? And you hear people say, I can't breathe wearing this thing. This thing doesn't even work. But Christ interrupted her. He interrupted her and said, when she said, give me this water, this living water, he kind of said, I will give you. But first, come as you are. Go and call your husband. He was saying, I'll gladly give you the living water that I've just told you about. I'll gladly set you free, but first, come as you are. Many people need to hear that message. Come as you are. You are unconventional. Come as you are. You are unusual. Come as you are. You are vulnerable. Come as you are. You are unchurched. Come as you are. When I work with clients, one of the interesting things that I hear them say is, I'm so sorry because I swear like a trooper. Right? A lot of them swear. And I'm like, that's fine. There's nothing I haven't heard. That's what I say. But by doing that, I'm putting a message out there that there are more important things than the fact that you swear. You know, if we're going to reach the world, we need to see beyond the surface. We need to see beyond, oh my goodness, I can't believe they just said that. I can't believe they're wearing that. I can't believe they're watching that. Because the thing is, many people expect us as Christians to be like that, to have that religious spirit. But the problem with that is that's how we close the door to access. But that's not what we want. We want people to access Christ. And part of that is being able to sit back and allow people to be themselves. Lastly, it says, this is my favorite part. She says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Now that confused me. Because when I read the passage, he did not tell her everything she ever did. He said, go call your husband. And he told her that actually, yes, you've had 5 husbands and the man you're living with is not. That's all he said. But that translated to, He told me everything I ever did. Why did she have to tell everyone? Because something happened within her. In that moment when she said, "Give me that water," that was the turning point. And then something happened for her. What is that something? Number one, truth was revealed. The truth of her life, the truth of her circumstances were revealed with no judgment. When Christ said, "In fact, you have had five husbands," he was not pointing a finger and saying, "In fact, I know what you did last summer." He was not pointing a finger and accusing her. He was just stating a fact because, like she said, "Oh, you are a prophet." So there was a truth with no judgment. Secondly, this woman, I believe she felt love and acceptance like never before. I don't know what her five marriages were like. I don't know what her sixth relationship was. But I know that when she met the seventh man, who was Christ, everything changed. Love and acceptance. No criticism, no judgment. She was redeemed and had the opportunity for a new life, a transformed life that would go on to impact the rest of the world. So I believe that God wants that people out there know the truth about themselves through His eyes, not through their own. Because if people look at their lives through their own lives, what's going to happen? They're going to focus on their inadequacies and they're going to stop themselves from being intimate with God. "I'm not worthy." It's amazing the number of people who say, "I can't walk through the doors of the church." What do they say will happen? There are things that people say will happen if they walk through the doors of the church. So they disqualify themselves. But people, God wants people to know real love. We always quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gifted His Son." If you knew the gift of God, if you take those two ideas, John 3:16, God gifting His Son, and Christ Himself saying, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, and He talks about that you would get eternal life. Just like John 3:16 talks about eternal life. And so I believe that God would have us who have access to Christ go out there and teach people, but also help them understand truth, understand love, and understand acceptance with no judgment. So finally, how can we as Christians approach this Christmas season? And what difference will that make? There are three things. Number one, I believe that we need to connect. We need to connect with non-Christians as opposed to disconnect, as opposed to isolate, as opposed to disengage. We need to connect. We need to share Christ's love for them. We need to share our God encounters. We need to share our pain and how God has comforted us. You see, a lot of people out there are in pain, but they have not been comforted. And they don't know that there is one who can comfort them. But we know that. They need to understand, or we need to understand, please, I'll get you to stand up. We need to understand this one thing. You too can have a conversation at the well. If you take anything out of today's message, you too can have a conversation at the well. That well might be a cafe. That well might be a classroom or a staff room. It might be the cafeteria. It might be the boardroom. It might be Kohl's. You too can have a conversation at the well. Evangelism doesn't have to be this big, scary thing that we need to go for classes to understand. It's just knowing I too can have a conversation at the well. Secondly, one, we need to connect. Number two, we need to remember that we are carriers of the Spirit of God and that we have the fruit of the Spirit. We have love. People need it. We have joy. People need it. We have peace. We have kindness. We have goodness. We have gentleness. We have self-control. People need those things. Finally, we need to understand impact. Not only must we connect, not only must we remember that we are carriers, but we also have to understand the impact. This woman encountered Christ. Her masks fell off. She recognized him as Savior. And she finally got that living water. So what am I saying? I'm saying as we celebrate this Christmas season, let's understand that we are on a mission. There's a scripture that says, a soldier in the army of God does not concern himself with civilian matters. Sometimes we concern ourselves with civilian matters, meaning we worry about the little things. But if you see yourself as a soldier in the army of God, the little things don't matter. You focus on the main thing. So I just want to finish off with a prayer. You know, people in here have got different needs. And really, if you have a need, if you need prayer, please come up so that I can pray and the team can pray. Whatever your need is, come. If you knew the gift of God. Secondly, I would like to pray for people who are grieving. I felt this really strongly in my heart. People who are grieving and they've lost their joy. If you can come up for prayer. If you believe that you've got masks that need to be removed, please I'll get you to sing. If you've got masks that need to be removed, and finally, if you believe that you need the evangelist in you to be awakened, please come up for prayer. The grieving, the ones wearing masks, and the ones who want to awaken the evangelist. Church, let's just pray. Wherever you're sitting, if you know how to pray in the Spirit, just go ahead and pray. Please come and pray. You know, God wants to release a certain joy. If you've lost your joy, if you've lost your joy for whatever reason, please come up. I'm only saying this because this morning at our prayer meeting, I was just there down on my knees praying, and Pastor Charlie was praying, and he started to say some things. He talked about how this morning as I speak that people would experience the refreshing of living water. And he talked about people being able to see. And he talked about a fire. And I just started laughing. Nobody heard me because I think I controlled it. I've always heard about people who laugh under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I've never experienced it, but it was so gentle, yet so powerful at the same time. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit doing something there. And I believe this morning that there is a joy that God wants you to experience, even in this season. So if you are grieving and you need that, please come up. Please, you can sing. Please. I'm just going to pray. Everyone, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we came here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are the gift to the world, that you died on the cross for our sins. Your word says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, then you would ask.
Father, I pray that in here we would know how to ask for what we need, that we would reach out. I pray, Father, that anyone in here who's wearing a mask that covers and hides who they are, Lord, may you remove that. And I pray, Father, that as we go out there and we interact with people, may we make genuine God connections. May we speak life into dead situations. May we call those things that are not as though they are. May we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. May we walk in faith. May we trample on snakes and scorpions. Father, I pray for families here. I pray for those who have lost relationships. I pray for those who've lost finances. Those who have lost jobs. Those who have lost loved ones, oh God. I pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to comfort them. Finally, I pray, Lord, for those who are dead in their hearts because of the disappointments of life. Even this week, even this Christmas season, may you meet them at their point of need. In Jesus' name,
in the land I'm living in.